We're going to be in Romans chapter 16 this morning, verses 1 through 16. You have a piece of paper with just the word notes on it. And the reason that you have a piece of paper with just the word notes on it is because you could probably write a book on all of the things that are taking place here in this passage of Scripture. And number one, there wasn't enough space to put all of that on a half sheet of paper. And number two, you don't want me to talk for that long. So we're going to gain an understanding, but there's two things I want you to think about when we're reading through this passage, when we're understanding and remembering people that God uses, is that God notices when you're serving Him. Okay, so don't be worried about whether or not other people can see. God sees. Secondly, God's people notice when you're serving Him, even when they don't say it, because their lives are being impacted by your service. And the third thing is that we need to, as a body of Christ, make sure that those who are serving Christ in the work of ministry know that we appreciate them. They need to be told, and they need to be encouraged, and they need to be blessed by that. So Romans 16, 1 through 16 says this: I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet many my kinsmen Herodion. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa, who greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brother who are with them, the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nerus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you as we look at this passage and understand the various ways that Christ is served in the body of Christ, the various ways that ministry goes forth, the various ways that people are used, and may we be encouraged that the gift God has given us is substantial for the work. But may we also be encouraged to go out and recognize those individuals who have had an impact in our lives. All of this, we ask you would use in our hearts to bring praise, honor, and glory to you as we go out and do what you have commanded us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I told you this was an interesting segment of Scripture. There are many names there. I was studying this week. I have a little app on my computer, and I was playing the names, trying to learn to pronounce them correctly, and still stumbled through them. But there are so many names here, and we're going to go through them so that you can understand who these people are and understand that God uses different people in different forms to serve the body of Christ. And that your Your part in the body of Christ is significant, whether you think it is or not, because God has gifted you for that. So the first one, it says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe. Well, so that's what I thought, right? I thought Phoebe, right? But the correct pronunciation is Phoebe, right? Phoebe. So, you know, however it's said, it's a Greek word, but Phoebe, we'll go with Phoebe. Phoebe is generally considered the carrier of this letter to Rome. So he is giving this letter to Phoebe and saying, go and take this to the churches that are in Rome, that it can be a blessing by them, right? Phoebe is a servant. The word here, servant, is diakonos, right? Deacon, right? She is a deacon at her church caring for the needs of the saints, all right? Now, it's important for us to talk about this for a minute, because you go, whoa, wait a minute. Female deacons, right? We don't have those, right? So let's talk about this a minute, because yes, there were females that were deacons in the church. The word deacons means servant, okay? There were females who were servants in the body of Christ in the New Testament church, right? This is not to say that women are to hold the office of deacon in a church, all right? So this is not a proof text for saying, see, there were deacons in the church, so there should be deacons in the office of deacon in the church. That's not what is happening here. This is to say that the office of deacon is not a position of leadership. You hear that? So to say the office of deacon is not a position of leadership. It is a position of servitude. All right? So this is not saying that women should hold offices, positions of leadership in the church. This is saying, deacons, you're being given the same name in your official role as those individuals who faithfully served the church. And you're being called that. So what this is telling us is, deacons, you're servants, not leaders. Deacons are individuals who have been faithful, all right? So the role of deacon, position of deacon in the church, we have deacons, men, faithful men. They become deacons because they were faithful to serve the Lord. And when we saw their faithfulness to serve the Lord, we said, all right, let's give them more work to do. That's what we said, all right? So you're serving well. Let's see if you can do more. Right? And so that's why she is called a deacon, is because the word is servant. And obviously, and you'll see through this passage, that women have been called to serve in the church in many important ways for the advancement of ministry. You're going to see that as Paul goes through this list here. The church in that day had women who had to care for the needs of women. You understand that in those days, men did not care for the women at all. The women cared for the women. In fact, it wasn't appropriate for men to even talk to or greet a woman who wasn't their wife on the streets. So other women had to care. Women had to care for other women. Can I tell you something about women caring for women? Today, it's still the most effective way to do ministry. Is still most effective if our mature women will care for those who are in need in our church. That's how it's supposed to be done. It's most effective. He says that she serves in the church at Cenchrea. This is a town near Corinth and Athens. All right. So if you know where Athens is, that's a more known city. Cenchrea is right there. It's a town by the bay. And she is serving in Cenchrea. And it says, I ask that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way that's worthy of the saints. So here's Paul's instruction to them about Phoebe. Paul encourages the Roman church to welcome her as a fellow believer in a way that honors our Savior. All right, so she's coming to you. You don't know who she is. You've never met her. There wasn't a picture sent and a PowerPoint or a video or anything like that sent to the church in Rome so that they knew who they were going to see. He just says, listen, when she gets there, I'm telling you that she's a faithful servant of Christ and you need to greet her as though she's an important individual. So embrace her and take her in. I think that this is an instruction for us to remember that when people who are ministering to others come into our church congregation, that we need to embrace them. We need to minister to them. We need to care for their needs. We need to make sure that they realize the affection of Christ is there for them, even though they don't serve here in our local assembly. Does that make sense? Right? So our missionaries, my hope is that when our missionaries come, it is a joy to come to Pekin Bible Church to say, oh, yes, I want to go there. I'm going to be refreshed and I'm going to be encouraged and I'm going to know that they're praying for me. I'm going to know that they love me and the ministry that we have. And so we want to make sure that those who are ministering different places that we're caring for them in that way. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. How many of you have ever heard of Priscilla and Aquila? Right, these are probably of all the people in this list, they're the most famous, right? So we have Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla is the wife of Aquila, all right? And in some passages, we see, because it's proper, we see Aquila and then Priscilla. Right? So greet Aquila and Priscilla. But here, Paul does something different, and he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. And most theologians think that the reason that Priscilla's name comes first here is because she is doing the most significant work in the ministry of the body of Christ. So it's like Priscilla is out doing all the work, and Aquila is behind her and encouraging her and backing her in this, but she is the one that everybody knows. And people, Aquila is kind of, he just kind of sits in the background and watches his wife do the ministry that she does and supplies the house and all of those things. So so greet Priscilla and Aquila. So Priscilla's name is named first because of her greater significance in ministry. She's the present one in the ministry. My fellow workers in Christ Jesus, Priscilla and Aquila are tent makers, all right? The Apostle Paul is a tent maker. Priscilla and Aquila are tent makers and servants who, they're Jewish. This is important. Aquila and Priscilla are Jewish individuals who were living in Rome, and they were kicked out of the city of Rome because they were causing commotion when they came to know Christ as their Savior, and all the Jewish Christians were asked to leave Rome at the time. So Priscilla and Aquila are fellow tent makers and servants who have been banished by Claudius. And he says, they are individuals who risked their necks for my life. To whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches and the Gentiles give thanks as well. So Aquila and Priscilla are individuals who have been in the battle with the Apostle Paul. How many soldiers do we have here this morning? Do we have soldiers, men who served in the wars, right? How important are those individuals to you who serve next to you in battle? Right? There's a fellowship that's born there, right? And so these individuals were in battle together, and there's a fellowship among them. And Paul says, these individuals, I trust them because they've stuck their neck out to make sure that I was safe. In fact, there's times in Scripture where we see Aquila and Priscilla asking the Apostle Paul to leave because his life is in danger. Leave this city. Your life is in danger. You're too important to stay. And then guess what they did? They stayed. He says, you go, Paul. You go and continue on in ministry. We'll stay and we'll keep doing the ministry here even though it's dangerous for us. Right? So this is Aquila and Priscilla. They're individuals who have risked their lives for the gospel. Many times they suffered along with Paul in the service to the Gentiles, right? And it's important to realize that they are Jews who believe that they are called with the Apostle Paul to serve the Gentile people, which means they were going up against their brothers and sisters, their family, the Jewish people, who did not like the fact that Gentiles were coming into the church. So these are very important workers, Priscilla and Aquila. Important for us to remember that sometimes there are individuals who they are not preachers. They're not, they don't stand out in the crowd, but they have a significant role in the ministry of the church. Even the two of these, when they pull Apollos aside, and they're listening to Apollos preach, and they pull him aside and they say, Apollos, you have some good things to say, but we can tell that you don't know everything very well. So let us teach you better, right? So that you can go and be a good minister. All these things they do these things behind the scenes. It says, greet also the church in their house. So Aquila and Priscilla, tent makers, entrepreneurs, probably fairly wealthy in their trade. They owned a large home, and they made their home available to those in need of a place of worship in Ephesus. So they said, hey, you can have a church in our house. We'll serve the body of Christ that way. He says, greet my beloved Epaphroditus. All right, Epaphroditus. That is it. It's all we know for sure. We know who was the first convert in Asia. All right? So this guy Epaphroditus that Paul brings up, he's not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. He's not in any other, we have no other understanding of him. But the fact that he is the first person in Asia to get saved, do you think that carries some significance? Yes. Why do you think that carries significance? I think that carries significance because other people got saved after he did, right? Which means what? He went and spread the gospel. He got saved, and he went and shared Christ with other people, right? He was a true discipler, right? So Epaphroditus is the first individual to believe on Jesus in all of Asia. So this brings some significance. Going forward from his conversion, many thousands will come to Christ after he does. Can you imagine the crowns that that man is going to have when he gets to heaven? Because he just started sharing what Christ had done for him after he'd gotten saved. An individual who's unknown to us in Scripture was a part of the critical expansion of gospel ministry. He says in verse 6, greet Mary. I didn't have to use any special tools to try and get this one right, Mary. He says simply of Mary, she's worked hard for you. That's it. Mary has worked hard for you. We could try to go, all right, is this one of the Marys from the Gospels? Is this? But Mary's a common name, and we don't know. We just know that Mary is a woman who worked hard for you. Paul reminds them of this woman who has served diligently on their behalf. She is, remember this individual who is just, she's just worked hard. She hasn't claimed any titles or any significance. She hasn't been recorded in Scripture in any way except for this one little statement that says, Mary has worked hard for you. And can I encourage you that some of you who serve in our church body who, sometimes people don't even remember your names. That God knows that you've worked hard. You've worked hard on the part of the body of Christ. And that's all that matters, right? That is what's significant. I remember there was a guy in my dad's church, my dad's second church. His name was Tom. I don't know anything in particular about Tom except for he was a tradesman. And whenever something broke at the parsonage, Tom showed up and he fixed it. Anytime the tractor broke, Tom showed up and he fixed it. And anytime the something was not right at the church, he showed up and he fixed it. Right? And he was just this quiet, faithful guy who served the Lord, by coming and fixing things when they needed to be fixed, right? We need those people in the body of Christ. They are significant for us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners. The origin here of these two is unknown to us, and the original writings cause two questions. All right, so we don't even know who these individuals are in history. Junia is a female, we think. Depending on where the hash mark is in the Greek spelling determines whether she is a male or she is a female or he is a male. We don't know. So is Junia a male or a female? And if Junia is a female, is she Andronicus's wife or his sister? We don't know. We just know that they served together. Now, setting aside who they are, we understand that their ministry got the Apostle Paul's attention, these two. In some way, they're related to Paul. So somehow they're family, whether maybe they're a close relative, or maybe it's just because they're Jewish believers also, all right? But they're related to Paul. And get this, they spent time in prison with him for their faith. So these two individuals, who nobody knows anything about, Junia, we don't even know whether she was a male or a female, or he was a female, however it goes. We don't know what sex they are, right? We don't know anything about them except for this. They went to prison because they stood up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul says of them that they are his fellow prisoners, so they... We need to remember that the early church did not think any cost was too high to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They sacrificed their lives. They sacrificed their freedoms. They sacrificed their families. They sacrificed everything to make sure that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ goes forward, even to the extent that most of them are unknown to the rest of the world. There's no fame. There's no popularity. They're probably part of a small, hidden congregation. But he goes on to say that these two, Andronicus and Junius, are well known to the apostles. So we don't know who they are, but the apostles did. The 12, these select individuals. Now, we think significant things about the apostles, right? We think, wow, these are the individuals who knew Jesus, who saw Jesus, who were sent out by Jesus into the ministry. This is like being a quiet member in the body of Christ who serves the Lord faithfully, and Billy Graham walks into the church, and he walks down the aisle, and he says, "Hi, Andronicus. Hi, Junius. How are you?" Doesn't know any of the rest of you. Doesn't know the pastor, doesn't know anybody else. He just knows those two people. The apostles knew who these two individuals were because their sacrifice for the body of Christ had become so significant. And they were in Christ before me, the Apostle Paul says. He says there's two significant things about them. Number one, or three significant things, they were imprisoned for their faith. And the apostles, they recognize who these individuals are. But thirdly, they got saved before I did, Paul says. Paul's expression is an expression here of holy envy. They've known Jesus longer than I did. They've experienced him more than I have. As if to say, it's as if Paul is saying coming to Christ earlier is better. I'll tell you, I love hearing the testimonies of individuals who got saved as adults and the Lord transformed their lives mightily. That's a wonderful thing, but how wonderful is it when we find out about somebody who got saved as a child and they were just faithful, they just faithfully served the Lord the rest of their days. They just followed him. says they're having known Christ before him is significant to Paul. Maybe they got saved. Maybe these two got saved on the day of Pentecost with the preaching of Peter. We don't know, but we know that it was before the Apostle Paul. They have been in the fight longer than Paul, and they have endured. I want to say something to you young people. I'll say something to this young person too. There are individuals in our church who have been serving the Lord so long and so faithfully that their lives deserve our honor and respect just because they haven't turned away from Christ. Let me just say, thank you. Thank you for following the Lord. Greet Ampelitus. I'm pretty sure I got that one wrong. My beloved in the Lord. Remember those we love as fellow believers. We are supposed to have friends in the church. This is a real problem in pastoral and mission ministry is that I talk to pastors and missionaries often who say they don't have any friends. They're like, well, I'm in this all by myself. I don't have any friends. And part of it's the church's fault. Part of it's the church's fault. Not our church, because this doesn't happen in our church, but there's sometimes ministers get put in a position where they can't have friends in the church because other church members get jealous that they have a friend. I've seen that situation. The pastor or the pastor's wife says, well, I can't have any friends because the other ladies or the other men in the church will get jealous. I'm spending too much time with my friends. But the Apostle Paul, he had some close friends, right? Because he says of Ampelitus, my beloved in the Lord, he's a friend. He loves him. He says, so make sure that those who are ministering around us, that they have friends, that you're their friend, not just that individual who goes to a church with you, or not that individual, or he's not just my pastor. He's my friend. He's somebody I spend time with. He's someone I can have open conversation with. He's somebody I can go to the movies with. He's somebody that I can go to the ball game with and spend time with them. That's what Paul is. He has friends. Friends who are in ministry together with him and serving the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. Remember those who have worked side by side with you. There's a long thread on Facebook that I'm hoping none of you can access. There are my friends from Encounter Revival Ministries talking about the days when we were growing up in Encounter, and they were talking about all of the shenanigans that we were taking part in when we were 18 and 19 years old. And there were talks about, let's just say we enjoyed pranks, right? We enjoyed pranks. So they were talking about all these things and laughing, enjoying them about it. But we lived together. Few of us lived together for 2 years, traveling on the road and ministering together and enjoying one another's company and growing in Christ together. And we were, I promise you, of Encounter Revival Ministries, many ministry teams that have gone out, we were one of the worst ones ever that he recruited. We were sinful, terrible children. And all of those who were talking in that, they are serving the Lord today in different aspects. So remember those people who have been in the work with you and enjoy that time. This mission trip they're going on this next week is a great opportunity for them to enjoy work together. When we're doing stuff here at the church that you can take part in, it's an opportunity for you to enjoy doing work together and enjoying one another's company. Hopefully, when you're doing that work, you're having a good time. I know VBS is coming, and we'll have a good time, and then we will all sleep for 3 days. But it is a good time. And my beloved Stachys, remember those who have had a significant impact on you personally. There are individuals who have invested in your life personally that you need to recognize, that you need to say, Say they weren't pastors. They weren't teachers. They weren't. There was maybe not anything particularly spectacular about their lives, but there's something. There's something that you remember about them that had an impact on them. There was a man in my grandparents' church who was the greeter at the church every single Sunday my entire childhood into my teen years. It's a great comfort to know when you go to grandma and grandpa's church that that guy's going to greet. He's going to be there. He's going to greet you. And he was a dirty old mechanic. And you walk in, he greets you, and he smells like diesel fuel. And you go, well, he's here. And he's serving the Lord in this simple way. And he always remembered my name. I remember that too. He always remembered my name. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. There's another individual that we don't know much about, except for this. Something significant has taken place in the life of Apelles to establish him as one tried for their faith and unwavering in it. These are individuals you should recognize too in your surroundings and your growing up in your church. Individuals who you go, why do they? Their life is not the life of an individual you would say, wow, they have been so blessed by God. There's so many good things that happened to them. No, they're individuals that they've struggled. Life has been hard, and they just keep following Christ. They've proven their faith in Christ by the way they continue on. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Correctly understood, we would say household, not family, but household of Aristobulus. You know, there's no evidence that this man was a believer. We don't know that he was a believer. We think that this is addressed to his family or the slaves who are believers that live in his household. He's not a believer, and yet he still allowed believers to worship in his home. This is significant. And the same, greet my kinsman Herodian, who is unknown to us other than his relationship with Paul. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the household again of Narcissus. Again, the name of one who's maybe not a believer, but there are believers living in his home. And they are worshiping the Lord in his home. Verse 12, greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. These are women of the church who are working among the saints. Is anybody else noticing how many women are being mentioned here in the body of Christ in this letter? Because there's this terrible rumor that in the body of Christ we don't think that women are significant. Boy, I tell you, that's a foolish idea. We believe that God has gifted women to do ministry in incredible ways in the church. I had one guy say to me the other day, he said, if you want to get things done in the church, the men have an idea and the women make it happen. I'm not sure he was that far off. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. So, quite possibly, this guy, Rufus, is quite possibly, this is the son and wife of Simon, who carries the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you think he was recognized in the body of Christ? The boy of the man who carried the cross of Christ. Their role in this story has been from the beginning. Rufus is somebody I'd like to sit down with and say, what was it like? What was it like to see your father carry the cross for Jesus? What was it like to see that Jesus had risen from the dead? What was it like to see the church grow and develop as you grew and developed as a young man? Verse 14, greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Now these individuals, he names a whole pack of individuals here. We believe that he names them because they are leaders, maybe even elders of a church in Rome. There's a church that they are caring for. And he says, greet those brothers. They're working together in the ministry. Greet one another, or greet Pylogus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Again, another church is mentioned by those who are serving there, by Paul's greeting. And then he says this. So greet all of these individuals, care for all of these individuals, and greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, I don't think we want to begin doing holy kissing in Pekin Bible Church. That might come off as a little bit strange. This is a handshake. When they come in, greet them. Give them a handshake. Welcome them in. Make sure that they feel welcome to be among you. When you come together, greet one another with love and joy and acceptance. Yesterday, I was with my family in Michigan for my niece's graduation party. I've already told you the story about how I'm the shortest, except for one. But two of my sisters wore heels that were like this high. I walk in, and not only did they wear those heels, but everybody else is bigger than I am. And everybody in my family, they like to hug. And I'm not a big hugger, but they want a hug, and so they give me a big hug. And I spent the entire afternoon on my tiptoes trying to hug people, right? Make me feel not so squished. If a short guy doesn't stand on his tiptoes when he gets hugged, he ends up right in the middle of people's chest. That's not any fun. So I stand on my tiptoes to get up around them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. This is an instruction for us. When we come together, we're supposed to be loving each other. I'm glad you're here. He says, all of the churches in Christ greet you. I know that there is separation in the body of Christ because of theological differences. I understand that, and I understand it's difficult for us to work, especially with some denominations, because of theological differences. I get that, and I think it's right. But it's sad to me. It's sad. I wish that we could come together, all of those who claim the body of Christ. I wish we could just come together and embrace one another and love one another and greet one another and encourage one another in the work of ministry. That's why the IFCA is so important to me and should be so important to our church, is because those are brothers in Christ who they agree with us theologically and they love us. And when we come together, we just had dinner all together, some of our elders and deacons and the elders and deacons and pastors from some of those other churches. We just come together and love on one another. He says, all the churches in Christ greet you. Make sure that our like-minded brothers and sisters that we love, that we're encouraging them, that we're praying for them, that we are providing for them in ways that we can. I'm so thankful for this end letter from the Apostle Paul as a reminder to us that there is a lot of work going on in the body of Christ. There are missionaries who are serving Christ, planting churches. There are missionaries who are serving those missionaries by doing administrative work. There are those missionaries that are serving those individuals by making sure they have the facilities and the technological things that they need to serve Christ. And the same things are happening in our churches. We have pastors that teach the word, and we have pastors that minister music, and we have pastors that care for individuals in their homes. All of these roles are significant. We need to honor the people who are taking on those roles. We need to honor those people in our church who are coming and cleaning and who are working and who are caring for the children and who are teaching our children and who are caring for our young people and who are going out and visiting our shut-ins and all of those individuals. And we need to thank them. We need to embrace them. We need to love them, and we need to pray for them. And when we all come together on Sunday morning, we're supposed to be rejoicing because the Lord allowed us to do a good work in the week ahead that we had. So this is my challenge for you. How have you been gifted to serve the body of Christ? No matter whether you think it's significant or not, how have you been gifted? And will you go do that this week so that you can come back amongst the body of Christ next week and go, oh, it's just so nice to work hard and come back together with the body of Christ and enjoy one another. And then we'll come back and celebrate together. Because not of the work that we have done, but because of the work that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing as we submit ourselves to Him under the cross.